I should mention that going the court, the litigation route was our last resort. We did under the Federation's Kenya Diaspora Alliance, which groups over 20 of some of the larger diaspora organizations from across the globe, from actually the year 2010. We've tried to engage various arms of government to get them to realize the importance of mainstreaming diaspora. Not that diaspora are any more special than homeland-based citizens, but they are not any lesser citizens than the homeland-based ones as per provisions of the constitutions. The constitution, the new constitution. But we did realize we were not making progress. IEBC, that's the board in charge of the electoral processes, did insist on the fact that diaspora cannot really, provision cannot be made for them to participate. So this was for us a last resort.
Some people are saying that you did not do enough. The people in the diaspora did not do enough. They should have petitioned or should have engaged officials of the electoral body or IEBC in order to address some of your concerns, and they're taking the matter to court, basically washing Kenya's dirty linen in public, so to speak. What is your take on that?
Yes and no. Yes, to the extent that obviously the diaspora would have done much more. But looking at where we're coming from, we have to acknowledge that the diaspora themselves are not homogeneous, and there have not been structures that permit collective participation. There is no such one unit called diaspora. So we have this scattered, estimated 3 million Kenyans without any structures put in place even for them to participate. In fact, it's even a miracle, I would say, that they were able, or some of them were able, to come together to make a formal court petition. So to that extent, yes, but the diaspora would have done more. But they needed a mechanism to coordinate them, which mechanism has not been put in place. And the onus falls again upon government to provide that mechanism, considering their importance. To the extent that this court matter came as a last resort, you will recall that 30th of April was actually the absolute deadline for creating, for delimitation. I don't want to call it creating new constituencies, because there are 80 new constituencies that are provided for in the constitution. Strictly speaking, we believe that some of these should have been also diaspora constituencies, because diaspora at 3 million, you're talking of 9% of the total populace. Surely for them not to have representations are an anomaly. But I want to use that just to say, by the time we're going to court, the fact that we even went to court after that deadline meant that we were prepared to get this matter resolved in more amicable means. Over to you, Peter.
Now, Honorable Ochodo, there is a problem of illegal immigrants, let's say, living outside Kenya. And the suggestion is that how can the IEBC factor them in to vote? Some are even speculating that that information could easily be given to the, or could easily be acquired by these foreign government to expel these Kenyans who are basically, sending money to boost up the economy. And that in itself is a problem. What do you say to that?
Yes, that obviously must be an issue, particularly more for certain countries of domicile than for others. For the more developed countries where there are systems in place of collecting data, I think it's a lesser problem than emerging economies. But that be as it may, the Kenyan constitution does not recognize those subjects as illegal. They're recognized as Kenyan citizens, and they have as much right as any other to participate in the electoral process. So it's on that premise that we took this matter to court. And by the way, I would want to believe that the majority of Kenyans in the diaspora are legitimately out where they are, but not all of them, certainly.
Now, Honorable, last but not the least, when do you expect the judgment to be ruled, and do you expect it to be ruled in the favor of people living outside Kenya?
The matter is coming up for hearing on the 1st of October, and we are hopeful that given the independence, the emerging, growing independence of the judiciary, that they will be able to consider favorably this petition. We have four prayers in the petition. The first one is, the major one is allowing electronic voting, because we, in today's age and era, we don't see any other means other than to use secure online or secure text system to permit the diaspora to vote. Of course, there are mechanisms for validating and so on and so forth. Then the second part is has got to do with representation. The Constitution does say that supremacy is bestowed with the people, and that includes diaspora. They should be able to elect their leaders. The current plan is that diaspora, the few who may be able to vote with the current structures, would only vote for presidential. But we think the Constitution allows them also to elect other representatives, parliamentary, senatorial, and so on and so forth. Thirdly, is the aspect of dual citizenship. There's the Immigration Act 2011 that says people who have dual citizens are supposed to regain their citizenship and wait for 10 years before they can participate in the electoral process. We think that's unconstitutional, but we want to leave it to the courts to interpret. Finally, is the fallback, that in the event we are not able to go the electronic route, the Electoral Commission should provide beyond the embassies and missions for diaspora to vote. So those are four of our major prayers, and we hope that we get all of them. But even if we fail to get all, if we get one or two out of them granted, that would be a major achievement.